Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We are so glad you worship with us this morning. If this is the first time you are joining us, welcome. Please take a moment to complete our online connect card so that we can get to know you better and also pray for you. In light of the recent rising COVID-19 cases in BC, the pastoral team has made a very difficult decision before Christmas. We have decided to suspend all in-person worship until further notice. I know, for the pastoral team, this is not an easy decision. But in order to protect everyone's health, we believe that this is a responsible decision to be made and must be made. So, please continue to join our online worship every Saturday at 9:15 a.m. As for Kapos and youth worship, we will also delay our in-person worship until further notice. But meanwhile, Kapos and Youth Worship is planning to resume our online service in February. If you have already registered your kid for Kapos or Youth Worship, our team will contact you shortly about the February arrangement. But if you have not registered your kid for Kapos or Youth Worship, all you need to do is visit our church website, english.mykc.ca, to complete the online registration. As we prepare ourselves to worship this morning, let me invite you to stand. For January, we'll be studying the book of Psalms and explore about walking into the unknown. And this morning, let's begin worship with God's comforting word from Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He makes us lie down in green pasture. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For You are with us, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemy. You anoint our heads with oil, our cups overflow. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, let's bless the Lord with all our souls and worship His holy name.
So we pour out our praise to you only. So we pour out our praise to you only. So we pour out our praise to you only.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here. Worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship.
Stop working, you never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. You're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working, you never stop.
God. You know that some of us are going through raging storms that may seem too fierce for us to get through. And at times, we could not even see you or feel you. We might think that you have abandoned us or even forgotten about us. But God, you have reminded us today that not even the most furious storm would override your very presence. The darkness will fall, the clouds do gather, shadow will come, and waves will roar. But you will be there, and you are right here. God, help us to anchor our trust in you, and you alone. For you are the faithful God. You are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. You are the promise keeper. You are the light in the darkness. That is who you are. That is who you are. God, we praise you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, please be seated.
Before we begin today's sermon, and before I ask you to sit down, I strongly encourage you to go and grab a Bible with you. If you're able to grab a printed Bible, not just your phone. For in today's sermon, we will be jumping back and forth a few verses, and it will be much easier for you if you have a printed Bible in front of you to follow through. How many of you share this experience that I had? Once I went to a restaurant, and as the stewardess handed me the menu, I noticed that there are beautiful pictures inside the menu of some of the menu items. As I noticed these pictures, usually I would skim through them before I carefully study the menu. This particular time, I was caught by one picture, and I ordered that item. It was a double patty, cheddar BLT with homemade fresh cut fries. It looks gorgeous. After waiting for an unreasonably amount of time, the waitress finally put a dish in front of me. I looked down in anticipation of my long-awaited burger, and it looks nothing like what was on the picture. The bacon, instead of that, the burgundy color that you usually see, is rather pinkish and drenched with oil. The cheddar cheese was melted over half a burger. And then the tomato slice, it was as thick as my finger. And then there was no cucumber, no lettuce, no ketchup, no mustard. Instead, there was this white dressing, kind of like a ranch salad dressing. But you know, most important of all, the burger bun was not toasted. I cut the burger in half. Oh, the burger was juicy, all right, but it was not the juice I was anticipating. Let's just say the patty was a bit pinkish for my taste. By this point, I have to call the waitress over. I believe this burger is undercooked. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll bring it back and I'll let the chef know. And you know, it looks nothing like the picture in the menu. Oh, those pictures? Oh, those pictures are just there to make the menu look nice. None of our food looks anything like those pictures. Well, that was the last time I went to that restaurant. How many of you had a similar experience where reality turns out to be quite the opposite of what you're expecting? Actually, I believe we all had somewhat of a similar experience this past Christmas holiday. Just as everyone was anticipating and much looking forward to getting back together again with family and friends, the Omicron variant devastated all our dreams.
just as we thought. All our vaccine efforts, our masking efforts, our distancing efforts would supposedly enable us to bring back some kind of normalcy. Just as we were all looking forward to church reopening, to in-person worship, the Omicron has completely shattered all our dreams and dragged our spirit back down into the abyss. Inevitably, one is bound to ask God the question, how much longer? Where are you, God? How much longer is this going to last? We've been at this for 2 years. We've tried to remain optimistic. We've tried to remain hopeful, hoping that the end is near and all will be well as before. But just as our hope is lifted up a little, we get beat down again. And this Omicron, this really is the last straw. We thought Christmas can be the time when we get back together with family and friends. But now, school is delayed. And infection number is astronomical. What else is going to happen next? Are they going to tell us that actually the vaccine doesn't work? Or this is the new normal that we have to get used to? As Christians, we would naturally turn to the Bible in hope to find an answer. We would try to find a parable or some teachings from Jesus, or we would see letters of Paul. Maybe Paul has some writings to it. Oh, maybe better yet, Job. We should turn to Job. He suffered, so maybe we should get something from him. And then we start reading Job, and then we start reading the conversations, and then eventually we get confused and in the dialogues and the discussions. In the Bible, there is a group of writing that we often miss. Or we don't have the proper knowledge to approach it. Well, we all know the book of Psalms, but it is a collection of poems, right? It's a collection of poems from the Old Testament. But do you know there are actually 4 different types of Psalms? There's the praise Psalms, the royal Psalms, thanksgiving Psalms, and then lament Psalms. The praise Psalms celebrates the human experience of God's goodness, some of which is Psalms 8 and Psalms 29. The royal Psalms emphasize the role of the human king as God's chosen leader for Israel, and it celebrates the kingship while representing the king as dependent on God for success. Some of these psalms is Psalms 20 and 72. And then there is the thanksgiving psalms. It's an expression of praise to God, motivated by a particular experience of His grace. It is structured usually as a continuation or a response to a lament psalms, which distinguishes it from praise psalms. Some of which is Psalms 30, 116 and 124. And then there is lament psalms. Lament is a cry to God brought on by hardship or despair. Some of which is Psalm 10, 28. And what we will look at today, Psalm 42 and 43. Lament psalms allow us to see life as life really is. The simple fact that there is lament psalms tells us that there is no Christian utopia, that the people of God, the faithful followers of God, is not abstained from the sufferings of the world, that we too suffer, complain, doubt, question, and cries out to God in our time of need, in our time of injustice, in time of hardship and despair. Lament is that cry, a cry from the bottom of our soul to the Creator God, who we know from our past experience and knowledge is faithful and cares about our present condition and would act in response to our plea. Lament allows us to bring before God our most truthful and raw struggles in life. It acknowledges that there is darkness in life. Recognizing the pain and sadness in our present condition and not pretending life is always rosy and glamorous. Lament allows God to bring us back to the source of our redemption and salvation, affirming God's faithful character in all times. Lament usually consists of a vow to praise God after the deliverance from hardship. Therefore, this morning, let us come to one of the lament psalms and draw strength from the words of the psalmist and from God. This morning, we turn to Psalms 42:43. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What image would you have reading these first verses? As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Would you be imagining Bambi by the stream, gently sipping water with chirping birds flying around behind him and bunnies and squirrels running around? Maybe something similar to this picture. This might be the image you have, maybe because of the song you used to sing. But I hate to break it to you. This ain't the image the psalmist is trying to convey. Contrary, it is the extreme opposite to the image the psalmist has. It's more along the line of this. The deer is not in a state of abundance and praising God. The deer is in a state of extreme need and thirst. It is searching for a flowing stream, and if it doesn't find it, it will die. As a deer pants for flowing stream, so my soul pants for you. It is not a psalm of praise. It is a cry and a plea for God. As the thirsty deer searches for water, my thirsty soul searches for you, God. As the thirsty deer pants for flowing stream, my thirsty soul pants for you, O Lord my God. When shall I come and appear before God? When would I be able to find my God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Here we hear the desperation of the psalmist, the loneliness, the isolation, the lack of understanding, assurance, affirmation from peers. My tears have been my food day and night. Have you been crying yourself to sleep? Are you troubled to a point where you're at your limit? And you really wonder if you can go on another day like this. While they, my adversary, say to me, taunt me all day long, where is your God? Sometimes I wonder if the day, if the adversaries, is even an external force. I think even for ourselves may have started asking this question, where is my God? By now, I am sure none of us would say that this pandemic is not impacting them. I'm sure either you know someone close to you who had caught the virus, or it might be even you who had caught it. Or less fortunate, you might even know someone close to you who have died from it. It was almost exactly a year ago. I lost a member of my extended family due to COVID. It was an uncle from my wife's side of the family. Both my uncle and my aunt unknowingly caught the virus. The wife recovered, the husband didn't. Besides his wife, he leaves behind one adult son and a grandson who just turned 3 years old. We were unable to attend the funeral as they lived in Toronto, but neither could we fly there to be with the family. In June, we learned that our Chinese herbal doctor also passed away from COVID. In August, my 98-year-old grandma suffered a stroke one morning and fell into a coma. 2 days later, she passed away. We, the grandkids, were supposedly planning a birthday dinner celebration for her. It turned into a virtual celebration of life gathering instead. 1 month after that, we received news. One of Mandy's aunt, my wife's aunt, the one who had been suffering from Parkinson's disease, took a turn for the worse. 2 months later, she passed away. Because she has been living in a senior home and later on in a hospice, we have not been able to visit her. Maybe I'm just getting to that stage of life where I go to more funerals than birthday parties. But going to 3 family funerals within a year is not easily digestible. Ten days before Christmas, my supervisor pulled me aside and told me that the board of the organization has decided to refocus their resources and needed to terminate my position. 10 days before Christmas, I learned that I am going to lose my job after the new year. I am sure I am not the only one who bears sad news this past year. I know from my own oil costs that there were those who had lost their job earlier. I know from our congregation there were those who lost their loved ones. I know from my close circle of friends, one who lost her father the day before Christmas. Things can happen in life that pulls us far away from hope, drags us deep, deep into the abyss. The abyss of desperation and depression. At first, we would cry ourselves to sleep, but after a while, there's simply no more tears. No more tears in our sadness. And leaving behind only a bitter aftertaste in our heart. Where is your God? They ask. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? The psalmist repeated these words 3 times throughout this psalm. It is the refrain within a song. It is as if the psalmist is stating the most obvious here. If you're still not sure what this psalm is about, here it is in its concise summary. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? But this is only half the verse. There's the bottom half. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. For 3 times, the psalmist posed this question, why are you cast down, O my soul? And for 3 times, the psalmist answered, hope in God. For I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. But how? How did the psalmist get to that answer? Hope in God. Why is the response to my cast down soul is to hope in God? Furthermore, the psalmist says, "For I shall praise him again." This is an imperative. It is not a question. It is nor a guess, but a statement of certainty. For I shall. It's like, for I will, and I ought to praise him again. What gave the psalmist such certainty despite his present predicament of turmoil and hardship? The key is in verse 4 and 6. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. What did the psalmist remember? The psalmist remembers how he used to praise and worship God. The psalmist remembers the abundance, grace, and faithfulness of God. The psalmist is remembering who the living God is, that he is faithful, abundant in grace, never failing, always sufficient. The psalmist is remembering how he used to respond to God before, how he used to lead others in worship with songs of praise, with shouts of joy. And the psalmist is asserting that one day, after the current episode, he will again praise God. The psalmist is affirming to himself that this current predicament is not permanent, but only temporary. It will pass, and God will remain. It merely punctuates his faith journey as a period of exceptional reliance on God. After 2 years, we are starting to doubt if COVID will ever go away. How will we go through 2022 when still in a pandemic isolation? How will 2023 be like? Will this ever pass? Or we'll just have to get used to it? I don't think anyone has the answer to those questions. Neither does the Bible. Neither does the magic ball. But one thing is certain. Just as the psalmist says, God is still God. God is still Lord of all. In the midst of what seemingly be chaos to us, God is still in control and sustaining the world in his hands. This is what differentiates us from the world, that we choose to make the conscious decision to have God be the anchor in our life. We choose not to be defeated, but persist with certainty, enduring with resiliency amidst all the sudden changes of losing a job, of losing a loved one. We know with certainty the sun will rise again tomorrow. The day will pass. The hardship will pass. The pain will pass. Not because you have lost the feeling or the sensation and grown numbed, but because you know your God is here to journey with you. Then you are able to look at the pain and the loss with a new perspective, not by your own power or by your will, but in the mercy and grace and the healing of God. Hence, the psalmist continues to write his request to God. By day, the Lord command his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Send out your light and your truth. This is our prayer, O God, send out your light and your truth. Send out your light that we have a beacon to anchor our life to. Send out your light and your truth, O God. Send out your truth that we will not be deviated by the noise of the world. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. These words didn't come because the psalmist is through with his pain and sufferings. The sufferings has yet remedied. Contrary, it is the change in the psalmist's perspective that brought the changed paradigm. No longer does the psalmist see the sufferings as tears and turmoils, but they exist as part of God's sovereign plan. Although the purpose may be beyond our understanding and comprehension, in faith and by faith, the psalmist trusts God's sovereignty over all things. These pains, sufferings, tears are your waterfalls. They are your breakers and your waves. But the Lord God is my rock, my exceeding joy, my salvation, and my God. My brothers and sisters, as we step into 2022, how are you? This morning, let the Word of God speak into your soul to mend and to heal our broken whole. Nevertheless, this is not a passive sit and wait process. Rather, it is active and engaging, requiring every aspect of our being. We ask God to send out His light and His truth. Then the next question ought to be, how? How do we allow His steadfast love to shine light and truth into our darkness? As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. How does a deer pants for flowing streams? Now, I don't believe you would imagine a deer that just sits and waits for water to come. Even if you haven't watched any of those nature documentaries, you wouldn't imagine a deer doing that in search of water. So how does a deer search for water? No, not this. AOE. Be alert of your surrounding. Be observant to changes. Be engaged in your senses. Be alert of your surrounding means choosing not to focus on only a certain aspect of your surrounding, but all of your surrounding. Being alert of your surrounding means choosing not to focus only on the negative, the pain, the sufferings, but all that is happening around you. If you just focus on one particular aspect of life, it magnifies itself and exponentiates itself, its presence, bigger than it really is. Be mindful of the negative, but do not negate the positives in your life. Do not be overwhelmed by the pain and sufferings, but constantly altering your gaze on other aspects of life. How? Be observant. Be observant to changes. It means identifying which change will bring you closer to your goal, closer to your God. Being observant to changes means identifying and interpreting the things that happens as ways of God communicating his thoughts with you. Did the white Christmas we just had have any meaning to you? Was it just a seasonal coincidence, or did it give you some extra meaning? For me, this white Christmas is God's comfort and assurance. It gave me the calmness and stillness I needed amidst all the chaos. It also brought me away from the commercialized Christmas I have grown so accustomed to, and brought me to the people that is important above all else. Now you may say, Wayne, are you overinterpreting things here? My response would be, the Holy Spirit speaks to each of us differently. In however way you are most acceptable and approachable, learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit. How God talks to you. It may be through the Bible. It may be a phrase within the conversation you have. It means being engaged in all your senses. Be engaged in your senses, choosing to allow God's word to speak to your soul, allowing the Spirit to speak, giving the freedom for the Spirit to speak, being receptive to the words of the Spirit. By all means, by all forms, in coherence with the biblical God, in repetitiveness from multiple sources, all echoing to you the same message. This is searching for God. This is as a deer for God. Be alert of your surrounding. Be observant to changes. Be engaged in your senses. Life is full of ups and downs, yet both our happy moments and our sad moments can bring us closer to our God. God's promise to us is not a Christian utopia where we abstain from pains and sufferings. Rather, as we journey through these pains and sufferings, our unwavering hope in God that produces continuous endurance and relentless persistence is our witness to the world of the light and truth our God can bring. Now let us practice this. Can I invite you to close your eyes and meditate on the words of the psalm? Let God speak through His word into your soul. Hear the word of God. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throngs and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise Him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust men. Deliver me, for you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Brothers and sisters, can I ask you to rise?
Your heart.
As we conclude our worship this morning, let me encourage you to support and participate the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online for offering, please visit our church website, english.mykc.ca. And now, let's stand for the benediction. Let me bless you with a blessing from the book of Hebrews. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace and have a blessed week.